As a business owner of an aquaculture company, how can you take the first step to be profitable and sustainable at the same time? That's what we're going to be talking about in this episode. Hello, and welcome to the Business of Aquaculture podcast. This is the podcast for the sustainable business movement in the aqua farming and ocean ranching industries. This podcast aims to amplify the voices of entrepreneurs addressing the United Nations Global Goals, aka Sustainable Development Goals number 14, to conserve and sustainably use the oceans and the seas. Listen in to fellow business aquaculturists in their journey in this new model of food production, of making their business sustainable and help the ocean's ecology while also making a profit all at the same time. Get inspired to learn how even small to medium businesses can make an impact to save the seas, leave a legacy, and have a better quality of life. One of our goals is you take away a nugget of wisdom that will help your business move from the Industrial Revolution to Business 5.0. Our vision is that of collaboration in the aquaculture industry. I'm Lourdes Gant, your host. As an aquaculture business owner, how do you tackle the balance in being able to run a sustainable business and being profitable at the same time? That's what we're going to be talking about in this episode. So listen in and I hope you enjoy this episode. Welcome to episode 13, season 6 of the Business of Aquaculture. This episode, I'm delighted to have Guy Dean back on the show. Welcome back to the show, Dean.
Thank you very much, Wood.
No, I think I'm always saying this wrong. Your name is actually Guy and your last name is actually Dean.
It's okay. I get used to it.
It's quite a name for a name.
The weird thing about having two first names. So.
Thank you. Guy is the president and general manager of OrganicOcean.com. He has been involved in the seafood industry for over 30 years from farmer, harvester, fisher, processor, and distributor. He is passionate about supporting and promoting the consumption of sustainable seafood and particularly the long-term viability of the seafood industry. He sits on the board of a number of industry-led foundations within North America. He readily volunteers his expertise regarding marketing of sustainable seafood and closed-contained aquaculture in an effort to move the industry forward. Listen to episode 15, season 1 for my first interview with Guy. Welcome again to the show, Guy.
Well, thank you. Appreciate you having me on.
So let's get this show started. My first question to you is, I mentioned to you before the podcast that I really enjoy reading the comeback answer that you guys and Organic Ocean did on the non-renewal of the BC farms about the license decision. So what's your take on this? Maybe you can share a bit to our audience what that was about.
Yeah, certainly. As many people know, I'm not a big fan of open net pen Atlantic salmon aquaculture, simply because we're growing a non-indigenous species in a region that is impacting some of our other wild stock. And so for that reason, we wrote a letter in support of the minister's decision to not renew the licenses in Discovery Island, and just really stating that we support her decision and the decision that was made there. A lot has to do, from my perspective, with the research that was done. Unfortunately, the scientists from DFO and the aquaculture farm salmon side aquaculture produced some reports that were considered by many scientists to be not complete. And for that reason, these scientists came out and wrote a letter to, you know, the Honorable Joyce Murray, essentially stating that the science was shoddy. There were serious scientific missteps in the publication of their report, and it wouldn't have been, and it was flawed, and it wouldn't have been considered a proper report had it been published by any other authority. So it was really because of those issues that we wrote the letter. That's not to say, though, that I am not supportive of aquaculture. I honestly believe in responsible aquaculture, and there's a ton of aquaculture that goes on that I'm very supportive of, whether it's sablefish or seaweed, shellfish. There are so many great stories up and down this coast on the great aquaculture and great responsible aquaculture that's happening here. So it's just, to me, really growing a non-indigenous species in a location that shouldn't be there. And honestly, the same thing should be said. I would have the same issue if we tried to grow an Atlantic species seaweed in the Pacific Coast. And in fact, very many guidelines right now about growing seaweed in BC or in Canada, but the principle is that you wouldn't grow seaweed that's outside of 50 kilometers of where it's normally found. And though that principle, I'm happy that most seaweed farmers and growers are following those kind of principles. But again, I would have a hard time if it came from a region where you could impact other species or other seaweed.
Thank you for saying that. And I think the operative word in all that you said is responsible aquaculture. And that's why I really love the comeback that you have. And as much as I can, I like to have like both sides of the coin when I'm delivering message to the people who listen to the audience, because I also had a regulator come and was very upset about what's happened because of the non-renewal. But when I read that comeback article that you guys put together, it makes a lot more sense. And I totally agree with you that there are some, and I don't want to use bad apples and good apples as wordings, but that's exactly what it was. There's responsible aquaculture and there's bad aquaculture. So I love what you mentioned in terms of just the word responsible itself, because that means leadership, right? If everybody in the industry is responsible, then if no one's watching, they need to do the right thing, not just because they can get score.
And the same thing can be said. I mean, people say that I'm biased, but the reality is there's bad wild capture fishing as well. So you really need to find what is the most sustainable, what's the most responsible method for us moving forward.
Great. And so my next question then becomes, so just doing responsible aquaculture, there's also the business side of things, which is what we say, you know, if you do good business, then profit will follow. And so this next question I was going to ask you is, maybe you can give us your insight in terms of the role that happened between Cook buying Slade Gordon recently.
Good question. I mean, Cook is on an acquisition direction. You know, they're really focused on buying as many good companies as they can. And from my perspective, Cook is no longer just a farmed salmon company. I mean, extremely diverse. And their acquisition of Slade Gordon, from my perspective, makes perfect sense. Slade Gordon is a world-class sales organization. They really have their act together, have great accounts, both retail and food service. And they're just a top-notch organization. I've networked a lot, and you know the good apples and the bad apples, and Slade Gordon is definitely a good apple. So from Cook's perspective, to have a top-notch sales organization. Of course, they absorbed and inherited salespeople from the various companies that they've purchased over time. But really, from my perspective, acquiring Slade Gordon is really going to help them drive from that vertical integration, getting the product into the market.
And that's the new term too. Well, not really new, vertical integration, especially right now we're in the economy where it's volatile, uncertain, and obviously very ambiguous. The vertical integration makes so much more sense in terms of leveraging what each company has in a fragmented industry like aquaculture. So I can totally understand what you're talking about when someone acquires with a very big asset that they're taking on, but that also includes what may not be good practices as well. So that makes a lot of sense. So my next question to you is, what's one thing you can recommend seafood companies at this time to implement in the next digital decade with the talk of AI, ChatGPT-4?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, traceability is paramount moving forward. Traceability and transparency are really the key drivers of our industry moving forward. As I talked about before, I strongly believe in sustainability, but the reality is you can't have sustainability if you don't have traceability. So I think the acceptance of capturing key data elements along the supply chain so that you can track your product from the ocean to the plate is going to be paramount. And if you're not invested in that and trying to push that off, I think that's a mistake. I think you need to be invested in being able to trace your product all the way through the entire supply chain system.
And just a follow-up question on that, does Organic Ocean use their own internal traceability software? Our company is using IBM Food Trust, so I was just wondering for a bigger company if you have your own software doing that.
Yeah, we're not a big company, but we bought a traceability software solution called Insight that was developed for the exotic or sword tuna company in Hawaii. And we've taken it and modified it so that it works for our system. It's a great system, very robust, all barcode scanning. It really helps on our inventory control. It helps keep our costs down. It helps manage inventory. Our inventory counts have been amazing since we've implemented the program. So it's not just about traceability, but it's about good business too.
Makes total sense. And it's fascinating too how a lot of this technology is now coming on board, because I think I remember at the beginning of last year, I was told that in the States and maybe in Canada pretty soon too, this will be a requirement, which makes a lot of sense that we need to trace where the seafood is coming from. So my next question is, what's one strategy you and Organic Ocean are doing right now that can be leveraged by small to medium farms?
Actually, when Organic Ocean started, it was founded by two fishermen who were essentially unhappy with the supply chain and how the system worked. And essentially, they were fishing responsibly. They were fishing sustainably using sustainable fishing methods. They were dressing their fish on board the boats. They were treating their fish better than industry standard. And yet they would come back to the dock and their product would get lumped in with everybody else's product, and they get paid the same as everybody else. So there was no incentive or a disincentive to actually treat their fish better and do all the things that they were doing. So, but jump ahead, they started selling direct to restaurants. And the difference is they had small volume trying to sell to restaurants all over Canada. And it's easy to sell large volume and move large volumes to customers. It's a lot harder to figure out how do you sell small volume across the country and deliver it. So that whole logistics piece and how the business was established is really what sets them apart sets us apart from everybody else. And that model really is essentially become a platform. So now we've taken on some indigenous partners products, we've taken on some aquaculture products, and used that same platform for these small and medium-sized companies that really didn't have a way to get their product into markets, that we've now used our platform to allow them to distribute that product across Canada or really all over the world. So that strategy for us is we recognize it's not just the products that we catch ourselves, but it's also there's an opportunity now for us to be able to work with others in a collaborative way to get their product into markets and allows everybody to win based on that.
And you mentioned again, the operative word there is the partnership, right? So we were talking about leadership a while ago. And then my next pillar in my sustainability model is partnership, which makes a lot of sense. So I really like when you were talking about having other people actually collaborate with you so that everybody can benefit from the platform, which leads me to my next question. Share with us the sustainability dimensions that Organic Ocean believe in terms of intersecting dimensions, environmental, economic, and social. I'm so happy when I saw this because you're not ESG. You're like EES.
Yeah. I mean, they're all equal in and on themselves. You know, too often people associate sustainability with the environment. And while that's important, the reality is you need the other two pillars or the other two sectors. They're not pillars because they're not standalone. And I think that's an important point. But you need those other two, the economics and the social side, to really have a holistic view of sustainability. Obviously, the reality is you can believe in protecting the environment all you want, but if you don't make money while doing that, you're not going to sustain your business and not going to last very long. But I think people overlook the social side too often. From our perspective, we're a 1% for the planet, a B Corp company. We really believe in investing back onto the social side of what we do through food donations, food security. But the social injustice, the social inequity, I think is a huge issue. And it's probably one of the biggest reasons why we have environmental challenges. You know, if you go to a third or a developing country and tell them that they have to fish or harvest or grow their fish a certain way because somebody in North America wants to have a sustainability ranking or have an environmentally sound solution to their fish, they're not going to listen to you. But if you go to them and say, you know, if you do this or you do that, you can invest this money back into the community. We can build churches or mosques or temples. We can build schools. We can put air conditioners in the school so the kids can stay in school and learn more. If you do that, and you can have, you know, this can continue for your family, your future generations. That's the incentive for them to do the right things, to fish certain ways, to fish more responsibly, to harvest their fish more responsibly. So the social component is super important, and I think it's really overlooked by a lot of people.
Thank you for really sharing that. I love that because I remember in one of the episodes that we have, I was talking to somebody from Indonesia and Malaysia, and this got me brought back to the Abraham Maslow's hierarchy of needs, where you can't talk about self-esteem when their basic needs of food, clothing, and shelter are not met. So it got me back into that thinking that obviously, if you talk to a developing world and they can't even take care of their family, then there's no point having to talk to them of taking care of the planet. That's just not on their radar at that time.
Yeah, no, I agree.
So thank you so much again for being on the show, Guy. And my biggest takeaway from this episode, there's lots. I got like make notes while you were talking. So I love the way that when you were saying responsible aquaculture, vertical integration, and indigenous partnerships. Obviously, there's a lot more that you mentioned in terms of environmental, economic, and social benefits in terms of what you guys are doing, which are intersecting dimensions. So thank you again. How can they get in touch with you?
You're welcome. Thank you very much. I appreciate you having me.
And you guys can check them out at organicocean.com. So
that's right.
Remember to leave a review of the podcast. I'll see you next week. Thanks again, Guy. I really appreciate you.
Take care.
Thank you for listening, and I hope you are inspired from this episode. Do take a moment and share this with your friends and colleagues and rate and review the podcast wherever you get your podcasts. I'd love to know what your biggest takeaway from this conversation has been. What are you going to do differently? Please share your thoughts across social media and tag us. For links and show notes for this episode, visit our website, www.sustainableaquaculture.ca/podcast. Thank you again. I hope you will join me on the next episode, and together we can help create a better business in aquaculture.